Hey, hockey heads, get ready for the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Each game day, answer four questions. Pick the winning team, guess if points will be over or under, predict the first goal, and choose the highest scoring period. Daily winners snag gift cards, while each round's champs pocket cold, hard cash. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess. It's fast, it's fun, and it's all about hockey. Let's go.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm John Scott, and you're watching Nasty Knuckles.
You're listening to Nasty Knuckles, the Hockey Outlaws podcast, with your hosts, Derek Nasty Suttermeyer and former Philadelphia Flyer enforcer, Riley Cote, as they go behind the scenes with your favorite NHL players. Time to face off.
All right, welcome back. What's happening, Nasty?
What's up, Rigorilla?
Looking fresh today.
Oh, feeling unreal. About 2 hours of sleep.
Yeah?
Yeah, feel good.
All right, we look good.
Yeah, man.
Glad
you too, bro. Man bun and all.
Oh, yeah.
Looking sharp.
Yeah.
Trimsy on the beard maybe a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Looking pretty good.
Yeah, thanks,
I do want to start off just saying, like, you bailed on another team event there, a game. We're 2-0, start the season.
Yeah.
I guess you're just going to come back for the finals.
Yeah, exactly. You're just saving my energy.
Pay the money.
Yeah, well,
play
with that.
You know, play, they're coming knocking for that money, yeah. Man. You know that. No, we had a good win last week. Sorry, yeah. You weren't there. You were cuddle soup.
Oh, God. Just busy taking care of life now.
Yeah,
you know, things get in the way of men's league sometimes, you know.
It does it every week.
Well, I got to travel 55 minutes.
Oh, here we go with the travel again.
Kids.
Do we need to put a collection down? Like, we should take care of your travel. You did.
You should.
Score four in the finals.
Yeah, well, I mean, exactly. Send a car.
Send
get
a
some
car.
Shit done yeah. While I'm driving. Then you'll see me a little more often.
Put a little bit of the old kale spinach in
no,
there.
No, okay. Yeah, you got to have some kale treats.
What about the mango?
Oh, got to have some dried mango.
Ready. I know that's what Debo does before his men's league games. He's all into the mango. Anyway, Flyboys since the break.
Oh, yeah.
9-4-2.
Not bad. Yeah. Even before the break, I feel like they were trending the right way and winning some games on the road. And I mean, for what they are, they seem to be overachieving here in the last couple months, I would say.
Yeah, I would say so. And, you know, I know you want to go on the record and say they are making the playoffs. They're 6 points out. Didn't you say you're...
Yeah, I was doubling down on that.
You're doubling down on that? Okay. Yeah. Hey, 6 points out, though, you got to admit.
That's like, pretty good,
That. It's not bad.
It's not bad at all. But, you know, a 500 record, certainly not a playoff team.
No,
so it's just,
not.
But, you know, the way they're going, if they keep squeezing out wins.
You never know.
You never know, man.
And
tell you
and
what.
You know, Buffalo's creeping on that last wild card spot. Pittsburgh just can't seem to keep goals out of their net. It seems like they can score, but... they're right behind them, and we gotta, I guess, go to the next thing, which Debo did come in with a box of tissues. He's a little upset. His boy Bo Horvat traded this week. Pretty big trade.
Yeah.
You know, they traded Anthony Beauvillier,
R2-D2,
and a protected first round pick.
Yeah.
Pretty big deal. I think the Islanders. Baller said about $15 million, maybe a little more in cap space.
Yeah.
To probably make another move, and obviously Lou's not sitting on his hands, or he didn't this week anyway. So Baller is definitely an Islanders fan, which he did tell me they're his fourth favorite team.
Fourth favorite.
Yeah. Debo. I'm sorry, Baller. Debo. Sorry to you, Debo. Did you see him jump up like that?
He took offense to that. Nazi, you better be careful.
He took some offense to that. No, seriously, he did tell me, just so I know, a lot of ladies are asking about Debo's top four teams. you know, it seems we're getting a lot of emails about that Debo. They're like, who's this Debo behind the cam? They want to see this guy. But his top four, obviously Van, which I think, with Bo going to Islanders, maybe they jump up, but
they jump up a couple more spots.
He's going Vancouver, Detroit,
ooh,
which we did not. You kept that a secret. Flyers, and then the Islanders, but maybe the Islanders
might have been a flip flop there.
And I think he's excited the fact that he can go 2 hours up the road and watch Bo. Now,
oh yeah, it's big time.
Anyway,
what were your thoughts on the trade?
Honestly, it's been tough to watch Van. I know it's a shit show there. Our buddy Talk is probably trying to clean a lot of that up. The whole heard a lot of rumors about JT Miller. I don't know like what's going on, but it seems like there's a lot of, I don't know, maybe Debo knows a little bit more about it, but like, is that one of the reasons Bo wanted out, or is it just he just had enough?
It was just a shit show.
Yeah. It's the way it sounds from the things I've read, and obviously I haven't watched them a lot. I watched with Talk just taking over, but I think for the Islanders, I mean, you got scoring right away.
Yeah, I know.
You know, you do pick up. I'm sure Bevilier is a pretty good part of that team, or big part of that team, as far as, you know, he's been there for a while now. But, you know, you got to make moves sometimes.
Yeah.
And I think it'll help the Islanders. But if they don't get in, you know, you gave away a protected first round. And I think R2 is a second round pick, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, and Bevilier is a good player.
He's an established
NHL guy. Yeah. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens, but it'll be interesting to see if the Islanders can sneak in. I mean, Christ, they got probably the best 1-2 punch in net, Baller, eh? Like, their goaltending is amazing. Yeah. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yep, it'll be interesting. What else you got, Nass?
Our boy, Claude Giroux. First star of the week.
Not bad.
Yeah, I mean, he's got
hits 20 goals for the ninth time.
Yeah, it's amazing, career. Man. The guy, I guess he's starting to age like a fine wine, this guy.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
He's obviously, and you know what to me stands out is he's only a minus one.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, and they're, compared they got a bad, to let's his, be honest, like, they're not a great team. I think they have the same amount of points as the Flyers do, if I'm not mistaken. But to be minus one with 48 points in 50 games, pretty impressive. No matter if you're a G fan or not, you kind of got to look at it.
Yeah, you got to give him some props.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, he keeps producing. I mean, like you said, he's like a fine wine.
I didn't think he would.
Amazing. No, I didn't think so either.
You know, like, who knows how long he's got left, but I thought, we talked about it before, at least 2 years. Like, he's still in great shape.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
as long as he stays healthy.
Yeah, exactly. Years old.
He'll keep producing until his body actually starts breaking down.
100%.
I mean, he said he takes care of himself.
Yeah.
Obviously, his skill level is through the roof, so he will continue to put up points no matter where he goes. So.
For sure.
Good for him.
Yeah.
That's it.
Good for him. We're creeping up on something.
We are
fans of Philly.
Oh yeah,
how excited are they right now with this bird team?
We can't not
I know you're like CFL where they play 6-on-6 or something, and the end zones are 50 yards a piece. I'm not really sure, but it is the NFL, Riggs.
It is
birds.
It is.
I know you've been birds. A game or two.
Well, I have not this year.
Not
I call you definitely a couple tailgates.
Yeah
Some experiences at the old Bird Stadium and parking lot, for sure.
Going after the Super Bowl.
What an incredible story. I mean, this is exciting for Philly.
And it's crazy, man.
Did you see it coming?
Well, I mean, the way they were playing, I didn't think they would kind of march right through the playoffs as easily as they
have.
I know,
that's what I'm saying.
But I think the Super Bowl is going to be an unreal game.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you would think, anyway, Mahomes has 2 more weeks to get his ankle better or whatever it is. He was moving pretty good for a guy to have a high ankle sprain.
Oh, yeah, right.
Like, but it's awesome, man. The city the other night, you know, everyone downtown.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I don't think anything bad happened. I hope I'm saying that, but just a big party, so... it's exciting. My buddies, you know, a couple of my buddies, equipment guys there, and going for another Super Bowl title.
Another Super Bowl.
Andy
and
Reid.
Fans of Philly are obviously going to be
greasing that trip up. I think Joe had a lot to do with the Eagles' success
this year. I would say
so. Fans of Philly, but we're heading out for a different game.
We are.
It's hockey. And we're going to Seattle's Airboy Hack.
Maybe we could jump on the bird to Phoenix.
Now, that's a good idea.
And then go to Seattle.
And then go. See, now you're starting to think, baller, on that, we need tickets ASAP. Debo, you're buying.
Let's go.
Let's do it. No, but it's exciting for Philly, man. This has been a good sports year for baseball and the Eagles, the football.
100%.
So, see what the Sixers do. But Flyers hanging around, man. You never know. Never know.
Never know.
And, I mean, you went out on a limb and said they're going to make the playoffs. So, you know. People lay that money down now.
Yeah.
Riggs usually
knows. I'm optimistic.
Knows.
Yeah.
I usually very optimistic. But anyway, fans of Philly, next week.
2 weeks.
Yeah. After the Super Bowl, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yep.
After the Super Bowl,
Seattle,
2 weeks.
Vancouver.
Yes. Roxy, they keep calling. Tebow, you coming? Because they're asking about the DJ.
You got your table set up and everything? Yeah.
I do. Last time I was there, I was in one. Whew.
Might not even have to the game. Straight to the Roxy.
We could do that. No, we go to the game, watch a big W.
Yeah.
Sorry talk, but I think
Flyers
are going
to
win that
game.
They're coming.
Playoff team.
Yeah. So let's do it, man. What do we got today?
We're ready to rock.
Yeah.
Episode 104 with our boy John Scott.
Big John
Stud. All-star.
Yep.
And this episode was presented to you by Curaleaf. Welcome to Curaleaf, a medical marijuana dispensary. Whether you're a longtime patient or you're just getting acquainted with this incredible plant, Curaleaf of Pennsylvania is honored to guide you along your medical marijuana journey. Have questions? Google Curaleaf PA, stop by one of their 18 locations across the Commonwealth, or visit Curaleaf.com/locations. Nasty, you ready to go?
I'm ready to roll.
You better wake it up. Let's go.
Let's go.
Welcome back. I'm Riley Cote.
And I'm Derek Settlemyer. And this week, we're so happy to have the big man, the host of Dropping the Gloves podcast, unbelievable podcast, the NHL career, 8 years, an NHL All-Star, and MVP.
Oh, yeah.
And from what I've seen over the years, you got a few moves, too, little dance moves. Big John Scott. What's up, brother? How are you, my man?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me, you guys. I appreciate being on the show here.
Oh, man, we appreciate you taking the time. I know you're a busy man with everything you got going on with your podcast and seven young ladies in the house, so your kids. Got to be busy.
Yeah, my
gotta
kids. Be busy. Preference yeah. That, yeah.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, sorry. Your lovely daughters, seven of them. Me and Riley each have two. We put them together. We only have four. You still got to speak by three, man, there. But, man, how are you, brother?
I'm doing good. You know, it's I just found same age as Riley. He looks 10 years younger. But all that aside, I'm doing good. I cannot complain. Yeah. How are you guys?
Doing well. Man.
Doing well. Just grinding. As you know, this media game is no easy thing to do. And we actually recently hopped on the same network you're a part of, the Nation Network and hockeyfights.com. So grateful for that opportunity. But yeah, just grinding, man. Oh,
I'm still here. Yeah. Sorry. I didn't know if you wanted me to talk.
You can. Yeah. That'd be awesome.
No, the Hockey Fights guys are good. Nation Network's fantastic. They're a good group of guys. So looking at Hockey Fights, I was like, you asked me to do this interview. I'm like, did we ever play against each other, Riley and I? Why did we never fight? I don't think we overlapped at all, even though we're the same age for some odd reason.
I don't think we ever did. No, I'm pretty sure that I would have been ready for you had we played against each other. So yeah, we definitely didn't play against each other.
No, I would have ducked you definitely. Yeah. Cause when I played Philly, they had Jody Shelley and then Jay Rosehill. So those were the guys that I had to deal with. It was never you.
Yeah, that was after me. Yeah,
that was literally 1 year after you.
Right after me. Yeah. Yeah. I retired in 2010 actually. So, but,
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But, had we crossed paths, I'm sure there would have been some fisticuffs.
The only guy I got beat up by bad was a lefty, Justin Johnson. He was the only guy who I had problems with. Well, he knocked me out, obviously.
Yeah.
So nobody else really throws lefts like you did anymore. It's mostly just a right dominated league. So Yeah, you would have worked me, I think.
I don't know with that. Yeah,
you got to climb the tree. Get up
there. Yeah, right. Exactly. I mean, interesting enough, like the lefties that I had to fight back then, you know, Donald Brashear, George the Rock, Chris Simon. I think, you know, then there obviously there was like Wade Bielak, and you could throw both. But you don't see a whole lot of lefty action.
They were all left. No kidding.
Yeah.
That's wild. Cause when I was coming up, it was mostly rights. Boogie was right. You had Big Mac was right. McGrattan was right. Orr was mm-hmm. right. There was no yeah. really guy who you had to worry about being a left, you know, dominant guy. Obviously guys would switch. I could never switch, but yeah, it's weird. You had a whole generation of just lefty dominant fighters.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. You don't see that anymore. And it was interesting too. I mean, I was so used to fighting righties. You know, you're open up, right? I mean, you're both essentially in stalemate, but then all of a sudden you're fighting some of these, you know, big ass dudes that are lefties. I had to really start to, you know, switch my strategy up a little bit because, I mean, those guys are way out of my weight class.
Well, yeah, how does that go? Because you're used to just all rights probably growing up. Did you enjoy fighting right-handed guys more or lefties?
You know, it's a different fight altogether. You know, I kind of like fighting righties because it was just like the way I was, you know, fighting. It was just open and it was just punches and bunches. But obviously, you had to add more strategy fighting a guy like LaRock, who you know was like a swinger and full on lefty. Brash was more in tight, so you know, even though he was lefty, it was a different mm-hmm. type of fight. And I only fought Chris Simon one time, but. Yeah, a little more. I had to think a little bit more when I was fighting those guys because I wasn't used to it. But you know, when I was fighting a righty, it was just kind of like just throw and just see what happens. But yeah, so and I wasn't very technical as you've probably seen. But interesting.
Well, that's what made you scary because you were and I wasn't a big fighter growing up. A little bit here and there, but not like where'd you play juniors where.
In the Western League, Prince Albert.
So you were used to it, right? So I went to college, and I was stepping mm-hmm. into the NHL, and I'm like, I'm going to get – I would watch your fights. I'm like, this is terrifying. Like, this guy just, like, fights anybody. He's got the long hair. And I was honestly scared, terrified going in to fight guys like you because it was just like you watch the videos, and it's like, holy moly. Like, these guys are animals. Yeah. So I commend you to that, Riley. That's nuts being able to do what you did because you – it's crazy. Like it's absolutely
yeah.
crazy.
It is.
Yeah, I mean, crazy is probably the word because I mean, I look back and I wish I would have been a little more mindful about it. You know, I probably could have preserved my career a little bit longer. But you know, I think what I realized after it was I was fighting out of fear, right? So I was, you know, just fighting and you know, just you're kind of like tapping into that alter ego and you're trying to be this like super, you know, hero, villain, whatever you want to call it, and. That's the only way I knew how to do it. You know, it was just like act crazy, play the role and, you know, just throw punches and, you know, win, lose or draw. You got to keep showing up. And that was my approach, whether it was a, you know, a wise one or not is to be determined, but it certainly put me where I needed to be in life. So I'm grateful for the experience, the question.
No, the crazy persona works. The scariest guys I ever fought were the guys who were just like in warmups, like I'm fighting you tonight. I'm like,
yeah, right.
Why? We don't have to.
I can't even imagine looking over at this guy and be like, hey, I want to fight you. What?
I know, right?
Me, man.
It's so dumb. Don't,
you're not giving yourself enough credit, dude. You're a tough man. Big man.
We played, gosh, where was it? We played Yablonski.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He was shadow boxing the glass before the game. Like punching the glass. And I'm just like, you're just a complete meatball. Like, no, man, I'm not going to do it. And like, it was just I was terrified.
Yeah. I spent too much time in the jungle. You know, I spent time in the Central Hockey League and East Coast Hockey League. You know, you can pick up some bad habits, you know, even in the Western Hockey League, my first year in junior, we still had full one team warm-ups. Before they don't, because there's the fighting, you know, it's just like that was kind of like the way the role was presented to me at a young age. And I just look at the guys that were tough and their guys are acting crazy. So it was just kind of like, you know, maybe this is what you got to do, you know, and earn some street credit by just yelling at people's face and acting crazy. Because as you know, too, like the psychology, I didn't really recognize it at the time, but as I evolved and started noticing, you realize like once you know, act crazy, like stare someone in the eye, like most guys really don't want to deal with it. You know, so it's like, oh, maybe I just get a free pass tonight. I don't have to actually fight. But if I just keep acting like this, You know, maybe you can.
Yeah. No, it works. And I started my career with Minnesota, so I got a chance to play under Bugard, and Boogie wouldn't talk at all, and I just was like, okay, he would stare right through you almost. He just had those eyes. It was just like, is anything there? Mm-hmm. Are you dead inside? Like, what's going on? And it would terrify guys. Yeah. And I tried to do that. It wasn't that effective. I don't think I had the stare or the fear factor that Derek had, but I wasn't good at acting crazy. And so I just tried, less was more for me. I would just tell guys, I'm like, I'm going to kill you if you keep it up. That was it. And I don't know if it worked, but man, I would run across guys like you and I'd be like, this is like, it's not an act to me. I was terrified, Riley, when guys would do that. So it worked, man. It definitely worked.
Yeah, I guess, you know, when you're an undersized guy, it's just like you have to find other ways to try and be intimidating. You know, I obviously didn't have a 6'8" frame, you know, and which, again, that's terrifying in itself, right? You don't have to do a whole lot. It's like, don't wake the dragon type of deal, right? It's like, just let this guy sleep. You know, we don't want to wake him up.
And I enjoyed sleeping, so it was good.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's move on past this crud. What are we talking about today, fellas?
Yeah, I guess just maybe talking about your podcast a little bit and how that's been going. You seem like you're enjoying it. You're very knowledgeable. You have good insight and opinions on the game. You know, the direction of the game and all that. So how's that been for you? How you liking the media circuit?
You know, it was different when I was lucky enough, obviously, the whole All-Star game to get a taste of that when I did that. And then coming out of that, I retired right away. So I had some options. And my wife, she runs my show, and that's fine. And she's like, we're moving back to Traverse City, and that's where we're going to set up shop. So if you want to be involved with hockey, you have to figure it out that way. And I couldn't join like a TSN or whatever and try to run that dream down. And I said, let's do a podcast. Everybody's doing them. And it's just kind of worked out. I get to talk to players much like you do. We're actually interviewing Lucic today. And so very exciting, you know, and you get to talk to these stars and, you know, pick their brains and just kind of stay involved in the game. And they still kind of enjoy talking to has-beens and never was-es like me and you. And it's just kind of evolved into this nice little show that we got. And you guys are joining Nation Network too. So we're kind of having this little fighting, good hockey content, just really normal guys. It's, I think people really enjoy listening to that stuff. So I don't know. I don't know where it's going to go, but I definitely enjoy doing it.
Yeah, no, 100%. We love it too. And I guess it's a way to stay close to the game. And, you know, in our network, we're kind of like somewhat Philly centric, you know, just staying close to our network here. And you know, we have the luxury of using Nasty's garage here and, you know, bringing guys in studio, which is always nice face to face, but it's a lot of fun, man. It's again, we don't know where it's going either. We don't even know what we're doing really half the time. So just getting on a computer and working the technology is a battle for us, but
it's brutal. Yeah. Absolutely. I will say about Philly, everyone always asks me like, what's your favorite place to play? And I always, Philly's top two, because every time I play there, one of the most disgusting thing that's ever happened in my life happened there. On the ice, I don't know who I fought, but I fought somebody. I was going to the bench and I was just ripping the fans, like giving them probably the single finger salute. I get in the box, someone dumped a full cup of chew over me. I'm just like, classy Philadelphia, fantastic. And then fast forward a few years after that, I was with Chicago and we just beat Philly. And we were going to the bus, and you guys know, you can see the buses up top, the concourse. And Dave Bolin, classy guys, just flipping off the fans. Canner's telling them to kick rocks. And they start throwing full Bud Lights at us to the point where we have to, like, get a shield over our heads and sprint to the bus. And we're just flipping everybody off over driving out of Philadelphia. But I loved it. It was so fantastic. You wouldn't find that anywhere else in the whole world, that kind of passion is coming out of Philadelphia. So it was just, I'll never forget it. It was just one of those times where I'm like, man, this place is fantastic. So I don't know. I love that you're doing it for Philly, because you guys are going to kill it there. It's such a good market.
Yeah, it's been fun. And yes, the fans are ruthless. Yes. I mean, as soon as you show them any bit of, you know, negative attention or whatnot and chirp back, like they'll be all over you if they're not already. But I've seen some ruthless things. Obviously, Nasty's seen some ruthless
things. Yeah, 26 years with a team in Philly. You're never really shocked. No, to be honest, shocked.
It's beyond passion. It's just
that's disgusting, though.
That's disgusting.
It was gross.
That's disgusting.
Yeah. Where do the Flyers stand right now? Because obviously the Eagles going in the Super Bowl, the Phillies are playing great. The Sixers are. What's the hierarchy now? Because how is it going?
They're fourth. Let's be honest.
Oh yeah.
Unfortunately, this is a football, baseball, and basketball has been pretty relevant the last few years. They've been pretty good, and so the Flyers are right there, and it's been a tough go here for the last three plus, I guess, years.
So, and how's Torts been received? Sorry to keep cutting you guys off. I'm interested to see, how's Torts been received by everybody?
Yeah, you know what? I think it's been pretty good. Obviously, when they signed him, there was obviously a nice big energetic push. I think he's got the guys trending in the right direction. I mean, the last 2 months, we were talking about this on our pre-show. Their stats are really good. They're winning games on the road. I think he got them going in the right direction. But you know, it's Torts, and you know, I think his shelf life can be short, you know, based on how he coaches and presses. So we'll see, you know, if he can endure the quote unquote rebuild, the retool that they're currently going through. But it seems to be, I don't know what you can say, Nas, but it seems to be, you know, trending in the right direction. So
that's good. I like Torts. I think he's a good coach, good guy. So I want Philly to win. They need a winner in there.
Yeah. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah, the last 3 years have been tough, and you know, a lot of injuries, just underachieving. And I like to think that they're somewhat overachieving right now based on a couple of the injuries they have. You know, losing G obviously last year, never really replacing those goals. And then Coots pretty much toasted for the year. Ellis never really played and panned out. So, you know, a couple key pieces there that are missing.
Cam Atkinson hasn't played.
Yeah, Cam Atkinson. Yeah, exactly. So you're missing
obviously
some.
They go get Ellis, and everybody knows that story. He hasn't played. He played four games. He had a good four games.
He had a good four games. Yeah.
Did he get five? Oh no.
Yeah. So, but Torts, I think the fans were pretty excited about it, and most of the guys that we get to see the guys a lot being right here, and they seem pretty good with it. I know it's been a little up and down, but you know, Torts has his ways, like you were saying, and but it seems to be trending in the right way, in the right direction.
At least they have some sort of identity, you know, outside of McEwen, who obviously is hurt now, and Delory adding some toughness there, right? Just like a little bit of street credit. Like, I feel like the team has an essence that I feel like was missing for a few years. You know, Ed Snyder passed, you know, the owner and founder of the Flyers, which cultivated the Broad Street Bullies and that identity. I think there was a few years there where it was just soft. It was hard to watch. Not only not winning games, but, you know, losing in terrible ways, like just with no fight, and no essence. So at least from what I see, it's, you know, there's some glue there, some essence there. So
I love Nicky Delorier. I think he's one of the best players, like for what he does in the whole NHL. He brings some offense. He's never a liability. He's a good, good player, and he's tough as nails. He's actually loves to chuck him. I love the way he fights.
Yeah, I agree. I really like the signing. Yeah, you know, again, if you want one of the top three toughest guys in the league, you're going to have to pay him. And he paid his dues. He skates well in a straight line, man. Like, this guy can get after it, get on the hunt. Obviously fearless, but I thought it was a good signing. You know, he's perfect for Philly. He's gamer no matter what. I like the way he fights too. So nice to see these guys still floating around and having a purpose. You know, McEwen, obviously, I don't think is as tough, obviously, but can play. He shows up, you know, he gets his hands dirty there. So Philly loves that. Just kind of a throwback type of player. But yeah, I saw something the other day, since we're talking about this. I mean, you talked on maybe their top five fighters in the league.
Yeah.
You know, what are your thoughts, first of all, like the direction of fighting? Obviously, we know that it's been slowly, dissolving. But you know, talk about like, you know, maybe your top three, top five guys, and like how long you see these guys still floating around the league.
Well, it's funny because my biggest thing is most fights, there's no connections. Nobody gets punched in the face anymore. And yeah. I think that era is completely gone. Like when you played, you would connect on probably half your punches, where you would throw and you know you're hitting face. Now it's just like everyone thinks it's amazing when someone, like the Lucic Olivier fight a couple of weeks ago, everyone was like, oh, this is so fantastic. Like that was a weekly occurrence 10, 15 mm-hmm. years ago. So now I just think it's a different game. And like I know Revo is tough. I don't think he's the toughest because he doesn't punch anybody in the face. You know, like he throws and he hits a shoulder and the guy falls down. So like in my eyes, the toughest is Luch right now, just because when he fights, he stands in the pocket and he fights. Like he gets punched and he punches guys. He doesn't turn his head and shy away. And I think that's, and then my number two is Nicky Delorier. I think those two guys are the most entertaining, toughest, fearless fighters in the league right now. Even Curtis McDermott, big goof like me, doesn't stand in the pocket. I don't know. I like the Arbor Jack guy from Montreal. I think he's a good throwback fighter. He's a big boy, 6'4", 230. So I'm going to say those three. I'll go Luch 1, Nicky 2, and then Arbor 3, just for straight heavyweights. But there's some lightweights that I like the way they fight too. But those guys, they're old school.
Old school, yeah. I agree with that. Yeah, there's very few of them. Yeah, and I do agree. Yeah, there's not many guys that throw down the pipe and you know, maybe tuck the chin and absorb a punch. It's almost like so defensive and not a whole lot of, maybe, you know, maybe it's good for the longevity of their brain and life. You know, there's a lot of arguments around that whole thing, but yeah, the old school, not much left of it, but certainly the guys that are still floating around are bringing it and are not shying away. So I like that young kid in Montreal for sure. Yep.
Oh, he's good. I just think it's the way they teach now. I don't think, like when I grew up, like I would box. Like that's how you would learn how to throw a punch, take a punch, and you knew how to fight. I'm sure you've trained in the summer all the time. I don't think the guys do it. I think they're getting used to protecting themselves with a visor, which is a whole nother thing that I hate. It's just a waste, but I don't know. I think fighting will stay. I think we'll see more types of players that are more middleweight, kind of like a Marcus Foligno type, who are just very effective. They can, you know, contribute offensively, but just the fourth line guy's got to kill penalties now. You know, it's just one of those things. And I don't think I couldn't kill a penalty. I'm not, you know what I mean? Like I'm not that good. I was playing last night on the pond and I was getting just worked by these little guys who played high school. I'm like, it's just not my thing anymore. Everyone's too skilled. So I hope it doesn't go the way of the dodo, but it ain't like when you played Riley, that's for sure.
No, that's for sure. That's the truth. Yeah, I saw it declining even, you know, going into my last year in 2010. And it there was a few heavyweights, you know, the following years, but it was slow, the decline there. And I mean, to me, it's gone so far the opposite way now that, you know, I obviously never expected to go back to the Broad Street Bullies, but there's somewhere down the line, there's got to be some sort of happy medium here where there's still really true accountability. But, you know, obviously the safety of the player is important. I'm obviously all for that, but there seems to be a lot more cheap shots and a lot more just stuff that is unnecessary that's happening. Some of these injuries probably could be prevented if there's a little more respect, but I mean, stuff you just can't really quantify. We'll see where it goes.
People love fighting. People love it. Yeah, right. There's only one time when everybody stands up.
Yeah,
it's during a fight.
100%.
You know, I love it. You love it. Everybody loves it. It's just everybody's too scared to say it anymore because they're going to get in trouble.
Yeah.
Stupid. That's true. It's become too woke.
The four fights, flyers, you know, last week or a week and a half ago, and every time. I mean, even weeks he was going nuts on NHL. You know, he's like, this is unbelievable. And everyone's out of their seats. There's not one butt in a seat. Like four times in that game, and like you said, I don't think, like, if you're at a game, everyone's up cheering.
Yeah, and it's an emotional part of the game. I mean, it's
always
tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts. Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
But as we've seen, it's been a work to get it out of the game. I'm sure there's a lot of liability issues. I'm sure there's a lot of insurance pushing for this. I mean, I'm not exactly sure. And then the media gets behind it, and then, you know, like I think the Ice Guardians documentary said, like, you know, only, you know, 4% of all concussions come from fighting. So that leaves 96% of all concussions coming from obviously other plays, which is kind of a startling number when you think about it. So we'll see where it goes, I guess.
Well, and that's got to drop too now with the guys who are fighting now. No one's getting concussions from fights anymore. Stop.
Yeah.
Gary Bettman just doesn't like fighting because he's a big wiener. And he doesn't think it's good for the game. And that's why. So he's tried. He's pushed the OHL and the Q and all these other leagues to get rid of fighting. Yeah. And he's done it. So if you don't fight when you're in juniors, you're not going to fight in the pros. And it's just, he's ruining the game, Bettman.
Yeah.
That's so good. Yeah, I agree. Sure.
You had an equipment guy there in Buffalo, Georgie Babcock there. He hates the Phillies, does it? Oh, my God. This guy's unreal, man. They had him mic'd one night. It's on YouTube. It's my God. He's one of those Sabres running. And he's like, that's what we need, boys. He's like worse than me. Like trying to get the boys wound up. But anyway, yeah, I was kind of that guy. Guys used to make fun of me, John, because when Riley was fighting, like we were pretty tight, and we lived together for a little bit, and I would be over there shadow boxing on the bench. You know, I was worried about the guy. He was like one of my, you know, my best friends, and he's fighting these animals, like, you know, your size and all this. And I was always like bobbing and weaving. I remember Harry used to go, "Are you all right, man? Like, he's okay. He knows what he's doing." I'm like, I'm just fucking worried. But anyway, it's funny coming up here on the All-Star game. We have to bring this up. I mean, basically a movie. A movie's gonna
a movie,
be
100%. You know, yeah, Hollywood.
Play written, yeah, Hollywood.
yeah,
yeah, it's crazy, man. But I gotta be honest with you, man. Like, I was still in the league then, working with the Flyers, and that was one of the greatest things I ever saw, man. And at first, I didn't, you know, right away, I didn't understand everything that was going on behind the scenes. Where I know when it first started, you were not happy about it, and I could understand that. Totally, but I've read a bunch of articles, and I've seen a lot of your interviews that kind of led up to that. But man, in the end, had to be one of the best experiences of your life, man. And you totally took it and ran with it.
Yeah, you did.
So I don't know if you want to touch on that.
Yeah, it was just one of those situations where you start as the clown, right? Because they want to embarrass you. And the Jeff Merrick, Greg Wisniewski, Wisniewski, Puck Daddy, whatever, they picked the dummy, picked the guy who can't skate very well, who's going to embarrass themselves. And that was me. So it is what it is. I had Greg on my show a couple weeks ago, and we went back and forth on it. And it was an interesting talk, but I wasn't a fan of it. I didn't like it. No one wants to be the butt of a joke of a couple people, let alone an entire, you know, country. So it started off kind of bad, but then as it progressed and I got more votes and this and that, it was good. I had all these fighters, current and former fighters reaching out and saying, everybody except for Riley, oddly enough. But no, it was good. Like all these guys, I go to different ranks, and you know, you go to St. Louis and Chaser and Tony Twist stop by, you go to Buffalo, Rob Ray stops by, you know, Stu Grimson, all these guys. And they're like, go for it, man. Like this could be a good thing. Like just embrace it. Don't let the league get you down and stuff like that. And it worked out. I ended up going obviously and played okay, which was thank God, because I was so incredibly nervous. Imagine I go out and just lay an egg and it just played terrible. You know what I mean? So I don't know how it worked out, but it did. And yeah, it was a Cinderella kind of ending. So it was good. I don't know what else to say. I don't like talking. It was good. It was great.
Well, yeah. I was a little, again, I didn't understand the whole backstory back in the day. Like, you know, cause I was working and I didn't understand it all, but then seeing all this stuff, like that's what pissed me off was the fact that they're trying to get you to take a gift or take this or that for you not to go. And I'm like, why wouldn't you embrace this? And like, just to me, I don't know, but
he's an idiot. He doesn't get it. Right. Gary, if it's not his idea, he hates it. So his idea was skill. It's 3-on-3. We got to go fast pace. And as soon as someone tried to hijack it and change it, he's like, no, we're not doing it. So whatever. That guy, he has no foresight whatsoever. He played the perfect villain. If this was a Disney movie, like this guy played it to a T. So not smart.
You got the MVPs, how you like me now?
Yeah, I know. That was good.
Giving him one poetic of those, justice. You know, because it was great. It was so much fun to watch. And you got Natilly, my boy Kaner.
Yeah.
You and Kaner. That was great when he came after you. But it was awesome to watch. I remember I was just so happy. I thought it was just the coolest thing ever. Yeah. So,
was there any truth to, you know, when you got dealt from Arizona to Montreal there, buried, you know, say they buried you, you know, St. John's, was that part of the strategy that was like legitimate to
try without and keep a doubt. Part of?
Yeah, it was. Hey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I got to Montreal, or I didn't even go to Montreal. I went to St. John's. I talked to Bergevin. I knew him in Chicago from when he was a scout, like just kind of, you know how they give jobs to ex-players, a scout, Bergie. And so I talked to him briefly after the trade. He's like, John, I didn't even want you. Like, I just had to make this trade, and he didn't elaborate on it. But yeah, there was Bettman's fingers all over that trade. Cause when do tough guys get traded, Riley? Ever?
Right? Yeah. Mid-season. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
It's very
the timing
rare.
Of it. Right. Yeah.
So it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's a duck. So it was completely orchestrated in my eyes by the NHL, but what are you going to do? Even that worked into my favor, because everyone's like, you're treating this guy terribly, which he was. My wife was about to have babies like any second, and then they gas me, trade me to Montreal, send me down to St. John's, and no offense to St. John's, but you know, it's not Scottsdale, Arizona. And you know, so I was just like, come on, you guys, like just brutal. And it stuck. It was awful, but it worked out. Everybody rallied behind me, and I went to the game and got to shove it up his behind. And it was good.
So, yeah, I love that. That's awesome. The best part about it, right? Is mm-hmm, that you get mm-hmm. poetic justice, and then how is this this film coming along? This movie that seems to be in the works.
Who knows? Well, I do a little bit. We had a script. We have a script. Mitch Albom, hockey writer, sports writer from the Detroit Press, I want to say. So he did a script. He's going to produce it. We have a director. Everything's. I just stay out of it. Like it's just not in my realm. He just says, he calls me every couple months and says, okay, we're almost getting there. And then he's like, we're set back. And so maybe it'll start filming this year. But I said that 3 years ago. So it's one of those things where every year they send me a check and they go, we own your rights still. And I go, sounds good. I'll see you next year for a big check. And honestly, that's a blessing too, because they send me, it's nice size check. You know, there's a lot of zeros behind it. And I'm like, fantastic. You guys, this is great. Thank you so much. And that's kind of where I wash my hands of it. I got too much literally crap to deal with every day with my kids. So, which is good.
Sorry for the quick break. Just a quick shout out to our sponsor, DLI Commercial, a premier commercial construction and building maintenance company offering support at every phase. Thank you for your support. Check them out at DLI Commercial for all your construction needs. Back to the show.
Yeah, well, hey, if you keep getting checks,
yeah,
you keep dragging
it out. Take as long
out,
as you want, boys.
You know what I mean? I'm like, yeah, yeah, film it in 2030, you guys. It's fine. Yeah. It's good. No, it's good. Worries. We're fine.
Well, I can't wait to see that one.
I know.
It'll probably be very well awesome. Done. And
it'll be a stinker.
Yeah.
No, no.
No, it's going to be great. It's going to be great.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wanted to bring up something just because Phil Kessel, buddy with him, and that the preseason game in Toronto, where you've talked about. I saw a couple of your interviews where you said you never really were angry. It took a lot to get you where you're like actually pissed off.
Yeah.
And you were pissed off that day.
Yeah.
At that game.
Well, I was pissed that I think Jamie Devane might have played for Philadelphia. Maybe he played for Pittsburgh. I can't remember, but I was pissed at him. I was pissed at the whole Leafs organization, that whole team, just because before that game, it was preseason. Toronto had a tough team, right? They had Orr and McLaren and that Devane and Frazier on the back end, Troy Bodie. It was a tough team. And Buffalo, we had myself. That was it, really. Patrick Coletta, who's not really a fighter. Steve Ott, who just tries. So before the game, I tell all the guys in Toronto, I'm like, if you're looking for a fight, just, you know, come and ask me. I'll fight you. Lo and behold, one of their tough guys grabs a small guy, Corey Tropp, beats him up bad. They're scraping him up off the ice. As they're doing that, I'm fuming. I'm screaming at Randy Carlyle. I'm like, you fat piece of beep, beep, like just giving it to him. And we're going back and forth. And finally I said, Randy, and we were the away team. So I'm like, whoever you put out, I'm putting in the hospital. So put someone out. And he had his choice of tough guys. It was preseason. You dress two or three tough guys every preseason game. Mm-hmm. And so I'm waiting. And I see him give me this little grin, like, okay, here you go. And he puts Phil Kessel and a couple of his first line guys out. And I'm just like, come on. And so I'm thinking, what do I got to do? He's challenging me to fight Phil Kessel apparently. And so I said, I'm going to do it. Screw it. Let's go. I tell my centerman, I'm like, I'm going to jump Phil. Heads up. Phil comes over, looks at me. I look at him. I played against him for years. I said, Phil, I'm going to jump you, man. I'm sorry. He looks at me and he goes, what? The puck drops and I shed my mitts and then he starts hacking away and the rest is history. But I blame Carlisle. He just,
yeah, right. Of course.
100%.
What was he thinking?
Because he thinks I'm not going to jump Phil. It's preseason. Yeah. I don't care about that. Like, let's go.
Yeah.
So it was a funny thing. But yeah, everybody hates me now because I go after skill guys. So I would do it again.
The funny thing is, as I grew up, my dad was the trainer with the Flyers when I was a kid. So I grew up, you know, around the Flyers. And one of my good buddies, our good buddies, is Craig Berube. And he was the king of, as he was more established in the league. I mean, he's got a few stories where was the guy that
Dale Purrington and
Purrington. Oh. He went over to Leach and he says, if this guy doesn't stop running the fuck around, I'm gonna grab you and beat the fuck out of you. And he grabbed Zubov one night. He grabbed Zubov one night and pounded him in New York.
No
he
said, way.
Yeah, yeah. And there was another story where that Aaron Downey was running around and something happened in the game and he told Mike Modano, he goes, we play you next week and I'm going to kill you. If you don't, like, he said, this is the God's honest truth. This is what Chief said. He said they played next week and Aaron Downey, he said, skated the red line and apologized to every single player on Calgary's team.
I'm sure.
Swear to God. It's what Chief said. So, but it's funny you did that, but like guys don't fuck around after like, I can't blame you. I love Phil, but like
he got out of that one.
He can blame his coach.
I don't know how he got out of that one. So
if I would have grabbed him, I would have broke his face. He would have never had the Iron Man streak ever.
No, yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
I can just see it when you said it to him. What? What are you talking about? Fuck off.
Oh, he's man.
Like, no way.
I had a conversation with him afterwards. I tracked down his number. I play with Joe Pavelski and they were friends. And like, I started texting him and he kind of ghosted me. I think he's still upset about the whole situation.
Should be mad at Carlisle, not you.
Yeah, he should be mad at Carlisle.
Carlisle. The funny thing is, I'm the only one who didn't get suspended out of that whole thing. I didn't get anything. Phil got a couple games. Clarkson got 10 games. Everybody got suspended except for me. Wow. It's funny.
Were you so pissed off? Did you feel him chopping you down?
No, not at all. I saw that was just when Twitter was starting, and after the game, everyone's like, look at this. How's your legs? Are you bruised? You're this and that. It's like, you can't feel anything. Once you're in the heat of it, I'm getting piled on by all these guys.
Oh, my God, I know. No, Didn't you scream you were bleeding or something? Didn't you? Like,
well, because I wanted to get up and start fighting because I had the ref and three guys. And so I was like, I'm bleeding pretty bad. Get off of me. Just so I could get up to try to engage somebody. But no, I was screaming. So dumb.
That's awesome.
Oh, man.
So dumb.
That's funny.
I just can't believe a coach... You know, you said even though it's preseason, but even more a reason to throw out your tough guys to try and defuse this thing. But throw out Phil Kessel. I just can't for the life of me understand.
Oh, and I was calling him everything you can imagine. I was like, Randy, you fat, like just everything, you chicken shit, and he just puts out Kessel. I couldn't believe it. So, what are you gonna do? Bluff.
Yeah, right.
Don't play poker with me. I never get bluffed.
Oh man,
I lose all my money, but you can't bluff me.
There's one of the best things. Obviously, I didn't get to work with you, but I've heard from a lot of my friends, Mikey Aldridge in San Jose, and the boys Willie and Buffalo and everywhere you've been, but. Your sense of humor, you got a great sense of humor. I can see a ton of videos, like the one with the fur, what I was referred to, the fur jacket with you dancing behind someone getting interviewed, and
it was awkward,
and just kind of cruising in the background. Shit like that. Fans love that.
Oh,
stuff,
yeah,
man.
Do, yeah.
It kind of shows your personality. One of the things I saw, and I think Georgie had said something to me about it, was one night, Corey Conacher had gotten his helmet busted or something. He's in a box and they fire your helmet over. And he puts it on. Funny. It looks like my son putting on,
three sizes hell. It's too big.
But a lot of cool moments with you, man.
Yeah, the trainers, and I don't know if Riley can attest to this. I spent more time with them, honestly, than I did with my teammates a lot of the time because I was a healthy scratch. And I would sit in the locker room and hang out and just, shoot the breeze with those guys. And, Georgie was fantastic, Mikey. So I was better friends a lot of the times with those guys, just because that's who I hung out with during the game. Cause I didn't play. I was healthy scratch more than I played. So I would get bag skated. I'd go to the rink. I'd get the bag skate workout in where you're on the Wingate bite and just getting, but then you'd hang out with those guys for two periods and you'd drink beers with them after the game. That's what you would do. So I love those guys. Georgie's a gem. That guy, if you want to have fun, go out with him. He is absolutely fearless. That guy does anything.
Oh, 100%. He's nuts.
Well, I can relate. That's why Nasty and I have this podcast. I spend more time in his office than I did, playing games. But I feel
you
100%.
Game,
what's that?
You warmed up.
I warmed up every game. Yeah. I led my last.
Here's a question then. when you knew you weren't playing, would you tie your skates? Would you tape up your pads? Because I got to a point where I knew I was warming up. I wasn't going to play. I wanted to get out of that locker room as quick as I can before the guys came in who were going to play. And they're like getting ready for the game. And I'm the schmelt just taking off my gear. Like, you pluck. I wouldn't tape my pads. I wouldn't tie up my skates very tight. I wouldn't wear most of my equipment. So as soon as I got back to the room, I was just like, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Or would you hang out? What was your strategy for the healthy scratch warm-up?
Honestly, I was still the first guy at the rink, drinking pots of coffee, Sudafed.
No way!
I felt like I still had to crank myself up. Oh yeah, because that was part of my jam, right? I had to be rock solid in our kickball games. And I had to be that guy in warmups, and I actually probably took it way too serious.
You're a better man than I am. I would just sit and watch TV and eat like peanut butter sandwiches. And just, play kickball. But, you're a better professional than I am. That's why.
Well, I don't know what that, but it was just like, it probably earned me all those warm-ups. I actually got thrown on waivers my last year, and they kept me around, never really got sent down. And, warmed up the rest of the season. And every warm-up during the 2009-10 playoffs there all the way to the finals took every warm-up. But probably just because of that.
Way.
You know what I mean? Yeah, every single one, man. And you know, Lavi was just like, you know, we want you here. We want you to, you know, do what you do. So I wasn't deviating away from the plan. It was just get there early. That was my routine, you know, and just did I think I was gonna play? No, but it was just, you know, just part of, you know, the job, I guess.
Well, to even be around that run must have been special in Philly, you know, with the excitement. Oh man, that must have been incredible.
It was. It really was. It was, yeah, it was surreal, man. I really thought we were winning that thing, and just trying to be as supportive as I can. Obviously, did I want to play? Yeah. Was it realistic that I would? Probably not. So I knew where I stood, but nonetheless, I mean, it's all about winning. It's all about knowing your role. And yeah, it was incredible. It's unfortunate the way that thing landed up. But
oh, I would have wished you would have played and just grabbed Ben Eager or Adam Burris. Yeah, you know what I mean? Just give me one game, you know, and just go. Oh, that would have been beautiful. Oh, I wish.
That's awesome. Yeah.
But that was it. Burris was who Prongs wanted to kill.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He had me, I call him Beast, but Prongs had me the next year we were playing them, and he had me cut the top of a pair of elbow pads. So these things were, he wanted to come, he was going to, and Burris didn't play that night.
Of course
but
not.
He actually was wearing,
he would have mopped up.
He wanted, like, Beast didn't fight a lot. No. He didn't really have to either, but mm-hmm. He was ready to fight that night. Like, he wanted to, I don't know what he did, Burris said or did, but I don't know, just, I'll never forget. He's like, I'm going to kill that guy next year.
He's running his mouth. He always runs. Like, he did nothing to contribute to that Stanley Cup, but I love Adam. Like, he's a good dude, but no, he's not a good dude. He's a guy. But he would have killed him, man. There was some D-man who I was just like, okay, don't mess with him. He was one of them. Bufflin was another one. Sheldon Surrey was another one. I'm like, okay, just let him be. Like, you know, because I think they could, if they wanted to, really do some damage in a fight. Like an old school Larry Robinson.
That guy
can probably, like, throw bombs if you wanted to. But
Prongs was dangerous with that stick, man. Oh, yeah. He got away with murder.
He was dirty.
God.
Did you play with Eags, Ben Eager?
No, never. No. I don't think I did. No.
Okay. It was after the fact. Yeah.
I was the next wave after 2010 when they tried to retool. Yeah, and then right. I was in between their cups, unfortunately. I played there 2 years and they won it.
I saw that.
And then after, I was like, awesome. Man. Thanks, guys.
Awesome. Thanks for coming.
Yeah. Well, I only bring up Eags because I played with him in Philly and Nasty had him.
You're
in
the
was,
lockout.
Big, strong dude. Some good chirps.
He was he could chirp. I don't think he really liked the top. Like,
no, he didn't.
He didn't really want to fight, but he had to with his size, you know, a lot of
he
times.
He was so big.
He's a big man. Powerful skater.
Yeah, he's like a rugby player, man. Super explosive. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's a first round pick, man.
Was he really?
Yeah, I think the Phoenix or something back in the day. Yeah. Yeah.
Back when they valued toughness. Isn't that funny?
Yeah. Oh, I know. Yeah. He would have been like coming out of the OHL. Like, you'd probably say the closest thing to Big E, maybe. You know what I mean? Big, strong guy. Could score and all that stuff, but obviously didn't quite have the offensive ability to adapt and just kind of found that role, which, you know, served his purpose for him, I guess.
He's got his name on the cup, so
but he had some he was a good chirper, actually. You know, knowing the guy and then, you know, seeing how he plays, you know, he's obviously a guy you want to kill, you know, when you play against, because he's just like always running his mouth, but he actually had some legitimate chirps.
The one night where he made the mistake was when he called Gary Roberts out.
Oh yeah,
he was Eags was stepping onto the bench after a shift, and Roberts was going to the bench in the center in Philly here, and he called him old man, and he's like, "You try me," and Eags like, "All right," he steps back on. I'm like, "Oh boy," and it did not go well. And Gary tuned him up a little bit, and Eags came back after that. And he goes, "Well, wasn't a very good idea, was it, boy?" Oh man!
I tried them. It didn't go well. Yeah. That's funny.
It happens. Yeah. Happens to the best of them.
Wasn't the That's best good. Game I could make.
Yeah, yeah. So I want to talk a little bit about a couple of your suspensions. I mean, I think you had like three. You know, I don't know, I guess you could say longer type of suspensions.
Yeah.
You know, one against a guy named Tim Jackman. I actually landed up playing with him in Syracuse a little bit.
Hey, two against Jackman.
Two, right? Yeah, 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 right.
the same year. I was like, come on. So he wouldn't fight me, first of all, because he was Anaheim. I was San Jose, the big rival, cross, mm-hmm. you know, down the highway. And he wouldn't fight me. But he would go after, like, Mark Edward Vlasic and all these guys. And so I would just go after him. I'm like, we're going, Tim. And I think one time I just got the better of him. He was a strong guy, Tim. Worked out with him in the summer. The guy is the best summer hockey player you've ever seen in your life. Like, he just goes a million miles an hour and scores all kinds of goals. But anyways, beat him up once. And then the next suspension was so weird where I wanted to fight him again. And we were in Anaheim, and we dumped the puck in. Their goalie covered it. And I thought he cross-checked the back of my shoulder pads a little bit. So I turned around, hoping to, like, throw him off of me and grab him. But apparently he wasn't even looking at me. And the back of my hand, butt end of my stick, got him right in the face. And I turn around, and he's just sleeping on the ice, like, just starfished out. And I'm like, holy cow, like, this guy's out cold. And no one knew what happened. And I knew I hit him. I didn't know where. So the ref comes, everybody, they scrape him up, bring him off the ice. I didn't even get a penalty, I don't think. And so the game progresses, the game's over, and everyone's just like, you're going to get suspended. And it was a big joke. I don't know if you met Joe Thornton, but he's very happy-go-lucky, just like likes to keep it loose. And he comes in, we had won the game. He's like, you're getting suspended. Like, I'm just like, damn it. Like, cause I was a repeat offender at that point, and it's a lot of money. I'm like, great. Like, there goes 20 grand down the drain. And sure enough, I think I got 5 games and 20,000 down the drain. I'm like, son. And I didn't even do anything. I didn't even see him do it. But then, yeah, the first one, I don't know why I got suspended. Oh, cause I came
over the bench, right?
How dumb is that rule?
Yeah.
You can't skate on the ice and fight a tough man. Anyways, that it all stemmed from him not wanting to fight me.
Yeah,
so that's all. And I like Timmy, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, it's part of it. And then I'm not sure if it was after that, the Louis Erickson hit, which, I mean, it seemed like it could have been a good hit, right? I mean, had you not been so much bigger than him and followed through, but it seemed like it could have been, right? I mean,
I thought it was a great hit.
Yeah.
it's one of those things he admired his dump in. I'm like, you can't be doing that, Louis. You gotta keep your head up, man. And it wasn't late. It's not like it was like 1, 2, 3, 4, then hit. Yeah. It was like 1, 1.5, and I buried him. Like, just crushed him. I was bigger. His head hit my shoulder, and it just before this was the same season as the Phil Kessel thing. Okay. And so after the Kessel thing, I had talked to Brendan Shanahan. He called me right after, the next day or even that night. And he said, John, I can't suspend you because you didn't do anything technically, but I want to suspend you. And I was like, okay, this is strange. This is a weird call. And he's like, so just make sure you keep it clean. And it's funny, Pronger was a player safety guy too. And he even like made a point. His first guy, his first year, he came and visited me. And sat me down in Arizona. He's like, you cannot do anything wrong this year. I'm going to suspend you right away. I have to. So they were looking to suspend me. And Shanny told me after the Kessel thing. And so I knew right away. I was getting a big number. And so after the Erickson hit, I go to New York, in-person hearing. And he's like, well, what do you think? What's your number? What do you think it should be? And I was like, it's zero. Like, I think it was a fine hit. He just has to protect himself. And the funny thing was, this is in New York, New York City, NHL offices. Everybody's there, all their lawyers, and it's me and my GM. And he goes, oh, yeah? Well, how would you feel to be Louis Erickson right now, laid up? And I go, I actually wouldn't mind it. Doesn't he make like $7 million? And he like slams his hand on the desk. You think this is a game? You think this is funny? I'm like, you asked me a question, Shanny. The guy makes $7 million for 7 years. I would switch positions with him right now. He's like, real funny. And he like storms out of the room. And I end up getting 7 games. And it was just first offense, 7 games, just a complete joke. But that all stemmed from the Kessel thing, because he said, I'm getting you. You're going to get it this year at some point. So I think if I don't jump Kessel, I don't get anything. Maybe 1 or 2, just because it was the Bruins. They're a big team, and Jeremy Jacobs is just Bettman's best friend. So, but yeah, Funny story. Small world.
Shanny wasn't an angel.
No, yeah, he was no angel.
I mean, neither was Prongs. Like he was.
And then Georgie Peros too. I don't know what the deal. It's like Riley, you should be next. Like it's just I don't understand the reasoning that goes into these player safeties guys. It just okay. Like Mike Milbury will be the player safety guy next. It's so dumb.
But. You think Mike Milbury had anything to do with that suspension?
I don't like Milbury either. I think he's like a douche. He just chirped me for no reason. Yeah. But then he's calling me a goon and bad for the game. I'm like, you were the worst GM in NHL history. You jumped in the stands and beat somebody up with a shoe. And now you're throwing stones at me, Mike. Like, let's take it easy. Ridiculous. Oh, ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, so, he was all over before the game even started. So that was just more ammo. Yeah. Like he's just useless, unnecessary comments.
One of the worst moments of my life is they have the TV on in the locker room before the All-Star game, and there's two teams dressing in there because two in one room, two in the other. And they have his broadcast up, and he's just ripping me. And all these guys are sitting there. I'm trying to tie my skates, and he's like, John Scott sucks. He doesn't belong here. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh. This is so uncomfortable. Why are we watching this? It's so bad. And I'm just, like, not looking up because everybody's staring at me. I'm just like, oh, man, let's just get this over with. So funny.
That's when the equipment guys got to hit the mute button.
Yeah, I know, right?
I don't know who was in your room, but I got to get on.
It was partner in Nashville.
Oh, partner. Might be.
Partner's not.
That's hilarious. Partner's the man.
Oh, he is the man.
We used to tell him, Johnny, every time I was in there, I'd be like, bro, we're trading for you. We're trading this guy. I have working. Nope. Gary ain't going to let it happen. He said, I said,
no way, man.
No way, man. No way, bro. Oh, man, Parker, what a good man. You know, he had his eyes fixed, eh?
I didn't know that.
He doesn't wear glasses. They got his eyes fixed when I was still there 3 years ago. We go in there. He doesn't have glasses on. Now he can see.
Wow.
The guy hasn't seen for years. Like, he would see shadows, eh? Like, and they went in and they did some surgery. He's 20.
Wow, amazing.
Guy can see now. It's great. Yeah, I was so happy for him, man. It's funny seeing him without glasses on.
Oh, yeah.
Because you used to see his eyes look this big because his glasses are so thick. But great, great dude. Man. You're right. I don't know. Might be. But
what a beauty.
Anyway, man, I'm pumped to hear your next episode there with Luch. I love that guy, man. That's awesome. You're shooting him today.
Yeah,
we're going to chat to him about, I don't know, I want to talk about the whole Ryan Miller thing. Dale Weiss, when he played Montreal, that whole handshake debacle. I don't know. Why wouldn't fight the Rock? Stuff like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Not many guys you can talk to who has done what he's done. That guy is a legit throwback power forward style player. Now he's kind of transitioned into a fighter, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, he shows up.
So, yeah, he does. Yeah, I know. It's nice to see him going strong.
I think I saw a piece where you were – talking about him, and you obviously said earlier about him just coming right down Broadway with it. Like, he's looking at the guys and he's, you know, his head's up, he's chucking.
Oh, yeah,
man.
He's old school,
he's a tough dude.
Keep
an amazing career, yeah exactly. Yeah,
right.
Almost 20 years he's been playing. Can you believe
crazy,
that?
Isn't it?
I think he started in 2006 or seven. It's nuts,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and he's been fairly active the last couple of years fighting. Like, you normally guys like don't want nothing to do with that as they get older. And
Daryl might have,
what's that?
You know, Daryl Sutter, like he's,
yeah, oh yeah,
he's
of course,
cool,
yeah.
Guy Johnny Stevens was talking about that, about Luch, said I kind of found myself again, you know, once he got to Calgary.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So
come back to his roots.
Yeah.
Now I'm gonna ask him about that. Thank you, Daryl Sutter. Another question.
Yeah.
I love this. He's got to have some good songs.
Oh, he's got to have
we
some
always
stuff.
Chief gave us a few. Johnny Stevens. I like the one with my buddy, who's the D-man, the American, Greener.
Oh, yeah.
He says Greener's chopping it up the one night, having a tough night. And he's a righty. And comes back to the bench, and he's just like, fuck, you know, kind of slams a stick. And all of a sudden, Johnny Stevens says he just sees something coming. He backs up, it's a left-handed stick, and Daryl says, try that one. That's such a Chief thing, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know that's where Chief gets
totally,
totally
sarcastic.
Yeah. He's probably got some good Daryl stories for sure.
I'll have to ask him about that.
Yeah. Well, before we let you go, just, you know, building off coaching there, you know, you've had a privilege of playing with a bunch of different coaches. I mean, the coaching game has evolved, as you know, right? I mean, the old school Mike Keenan days to, you know, more of this communicator, new school. Talk maybe just about the best coaches that you had in your career.
Well, I think my first one was one of the best ones. I had Jacques Lemaire with Minnesota.
Oh, right. Oh, of course.
Yeah. And the epitome of old school, just never mixed words. You knew exactly how he felt about every single player. And what was great about him is you knew exactly where you had to be in every situation. He made it so super easy. So I really enjoyed playing for him. But I was lucky enough. I played with some like Hall of Fame coaches. I had Tippett in Arizona. He was good. I had Joel Quenneville in Chicago. Mm-hmm. He was really good. Then I got John Tortorella with the Rangers for a little bit. And he was just really, really good. And then I want to say my favorite coach was Teddy Nolan in Buffalo. He was he really respected hard work. And I think as a tough guy that you just get kind of devalued a little bit because you don't have much skill. But he was a guy who, you know, if the top guys weren't going, he'd throw you out on the first line for a couple shifts. And Q did that in Chicago, where I would find myself playing with Kaner and Taves. I'm like, this is great. Because Sharpie wasn't going, he wasn't trying, and Q would send a message and put me up on his line for a period. So it's I really enjoyed those types of coaches who rewarded hard work, but also punished guys who were maybe higher up making 6, 7, 8 schmil, saying, you know what, you got to bring it, fellas. Like, and so he would bench higher end guys that, like, Teddy Nolan would bench Thomas Vanek. I'm like, that's great. I love Thomas, but like maybe he didn't try all the time. So I was lucky enough to play for coaches who really kind of valued just that hard work aspect that nowadays is just gone. Like, hard work is not even a thing anymore, really. So, yeah, I don't know. Those guys are my tops, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're lucky to get guys like that because you could, you know, run into the coach that doesn't believe in that, which is insane.
Yeah, it's insane that, it's insane that would actually be, you know, not in alignment with your philosophy, right? I mean, I feel like that is like the essence of what you're trying to teach, right? Rewarding hard work and effort and
glue. I think those are gone now. I think players have too much power, especially young players, and they just get these kind of tendencies where, okay, I know the coach isn't going to bench me. Like, you look at, I don't want to call up people like Adam Keefe from Toronto. Like, he's not going to bench Austin Matthews. You know what I mean?
Right.
He'll lose his job. So I think it's a players league now. Whereas when you played and I played, Riley, the coaches held a little more power in the locker room. So even at Tampa Bay, like, that Cooper's great. He doesn't run that team. Like, Kucherov, Stamkos, those guys run the team. Hedman, he just kind of is there to navigate and make sure everybody's happy. So he's not sending any messages by benching somebody if they don't try. So I just think it's the whole dynamic has changed. The players, it's a LeBron James world. The players run everything.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
If they want to play that night.
Yeah. LeBron. Right. Exactly.
But yeah, you're right. You're right, John.
You mentioned that, you know, Torts, you know, pulled that card this year a couple times, right? With Hazy,
two leading scorers.
And that's great. Since then, they've responded well, both of them, right?
Yes, I mean,
all-star and then probably could have been all-star there too.
I love seeing that because you don't see it anymore. And everybody was all over him for it. It's like, oh, you're sitting JVR. What are you doing? He's your leading scorer. It's like, I thought it was a fantastic move. You got to set that precedent, set the tone. This is a standard, man.
Yeah, exactly. So there's still a little bit of that old school left, but not much of it. I mean, those types of coaches are certainly phasing out, and you are right. It is run by the players, no question.
We had Dave Poulin on last week, and he had a great comment about the skill. Like, obviously he basically in essence said the skill, like, guys are making it because of the skill, but he's like, I'd rather have a hockey player, the guy that knows the game and plays hard and this and that. And
yeah.
I couldn't agree more. Like, it's, you know, like you're, like you said, John, like you're almost given, just kind of given this, you know, their way to the NHL
entitlement.
And expect it. These kids, some of them these days kind of just expect it. And it's not the way it used to be.
No, not at all.
It's changed.
But it's changed a lot, but you know, I like parts of the direction, and, you know, obviously I do love the skill and all that, but you know, it is still hockey, and there's still some foundational things that, you know, will never change. And as you know, what Dave Poulin was kind of alluding to is the work. It's digging in the trenches and, you know, just playing in those hard areas and, you know, stuff like that will never change. It doesn't matter how much skill you have. The roots of the game really will always be, and we don't want to deviate too far away from that, because it seems like sometimes you watch some of these games, you're like, whoa, this is not quite the same game. Like, yeah. This is, but then the other games you see them and then there is some essence there, but.
Yeah. That's why guys who do play that role, like a Zach Hyman, Zach's talented, but they pay him a boatload of money because nobody wants to be the first guy on the forecheck. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
It's very rare that you want to, especially on a first line who can keep up with those guys. Like, okay. Like, you want to get in the corner and dig the puck out for those guys? Sure, we'll give you $5-6 million. It's that was normal. Like, everybody had to be on the forecheck back in the day, or else your ass is on the bench. So
yeah,
it's just funny how things change a little bit.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate your time there, John. I know you got to get rocking and prep yourself for Luch there, and appreciate the time and the insights.
Yeah, awesome. No problem, guys. This was a blast.
Yeah, keep it up with your show, man. It's awesome.
Yep.
Love watching it.
Yeah. So,
all right. We'll have to have you guys on. This is great, guys. Thank you so much. Have a good day.
All right. You too, brother.
Talk to you soon. All right. Big thank you to the big John Scott.
Big John Stud.
Oh, yeah.
The All-Star.
NHL All-Star.
MVP.
Yeah, no doubt.
Great, great story, man.
Yeah.
Good dude, too.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. Turning essentially a joke into a Hollywood story.
We know it
now.
Pretty
amazing,
yeah. Wolverine.
No kidding, right?
Jeez.
It's that time, Nast.
Let's do it. We have to get to the Clear Rum questions. Brought to you by Clear Rum.
Oh, yeah. Let's
check
go.
Them out. ClearRum.com. Baller, what do we got?
This one's from Sandy's Minnesota over on Twitter. He said, is anyone you guys know friends with Jerdev? We got another Jerdev question. Nast, I think you DM him from time to time.
I have. Do we know anyone that's friends with him?
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know.
I don't know either.
The last thing I saw from Z was someone tweeted something about Claude Giroux, and I don't think they meant it in a bad way, but I think he misread it. And he like jumped on this guy. He's an unbelievable player. Yeah. I kind of thought that was cool. But I don't know if I know anyone that keeps in contact with him, basically. Like I said, I DM him. Go back and forth once in a while, but
I don't know either. Anyone. Probably some Russian allies out there.
Oh, 100%. There's somebody for sure.
This one's from Donovan Starr from Twitter as well. What do the Minnesota Wild need to do to make a run?
Ooh, that's a good question. What do you think, Nas?
I think talking to Baller and Devo, I think they need some scoring.
Yeah.
And I think I don't know if they're going after Besser. But they definitely need some scoring. They're sitting third in the Central in the Western Conference. So they're in a spot, but they started off kind of rough and have gotten it going, obviously. But I think they need scoring.
Yeah. It seems they have 20 less goals than some of these other teams above them. Yeah, definitely. Could always use scoring. If you're making
definitely.
A push.
It helps.
It helps.
It definitely
but
helps.
I think I think they're built fairly well. You know, I think obviously Fleury with his experience back there, if he can stay healthy. I like their toughness. You know, I got the pretty solid 1-2 punch team. There.
Yeah.
We'll see if that carries over in production and playoffs. But, from what I've seen, overall, pretty sound. But you could always add some scoring. It's not that easy.
Yeah, I'm sure
obviously.
Every team would like to do that
yeah,
too.
Know, right?
But yeah, you're right. That's probably the main thing I've seen from them.
Right on.
One more. This one's from Michael, that Sisto kid over on Twitter. What former teammate would you want to have your back in a bar fight?
Wow, I mean, there's a bunch of them, right? I mean, you probably got more than I have as far as like, some crazies back in the day.
The same guys you're probably thinking. Aaron Asham.
Yeah,
Ray,
I was like, Ash, yeah, Razor. I mean, Josh Gratton.
Yeah, oh, God, yeah. I think you could hit Josh in the head with anything and it wouldn't even faze him.
Yeah, that's the truth.
As he would say.
Pillows, yeah. Geez, I mean, even for yourself, going back in the day, I mean, Frankie B.
Oh, God, yeah, that's a good point, too.
I mean, you had
Dave McIsaac's a good
Dave
McIsaac. Fire.
I mean, Francis
really
Lessard. I mean, just all kinds of gems back then.
I was actually involved in a fisticuffs back in Quebec. Didn't want to be.
Could just see you.
I was right there. I left with about 10 knots on my head from the bouncers punching me, on. The smallest guy. Just trying to get our guys
just
out of the
bar. Trying to follow them out there.
It was, I probably shouldn't throw names in there, but we had three really tough guys just absolutely pummeling a guy. The bouncers jump in, and we're like, see it, me and Kat, see it, Joey Rivera, Hedgehog. That's where he got one of his nicknames of Mankind.
Oh, yeah.
Because by the time this scrap was over, Hedge had this white, his white dress shirt on, and it was hanging out of his brown pants.
She's all ripped up and shit.
He looked like all he needed was the half mask for the Mankind. So the boys are calling him Mankind.
Oh, that's classic. Was that one of your street fights that you gave yourself credit for? Or?
I gave myself a tie now, and I actually landed a punch.
Did you? Yeah.
Yeah, I did, and I didn't. I got beat up by the bouncers, though. That wasn't fair. I literally had. I'm not kidding. I had like 8 knots on my head because they were just pounding me as we were pushing us down the steps. Joey comes flying out onto the steps. He's like Snowy, right down, feet out. Looked like Mankind. It was great. So there's a lot of guys. Frankie B, say definitely saw him have a couple of street fights. They didn't last long.
Oh,
one punch.
I can't imagine.
Dave McIsaac.
Not a shortage of toughness you'd have on his side.
Not around here.
No. I think that's a wrap, Nast.
I think it is.
Clear questions. Done for another week.
Yeah, I guess I won't see you Sunday at the men's league. I am an awesome dad.
You are. I know. Just keep reminding yourself.
I have to.
Well, episode 104 in the books.
Yes.
Be sure to subscribe, like our social media, interact, ask questions.
Comments, likes.
Until next week, episode 105. Be safe, knuckleheads.
See ya.
Hey, folks. I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Are you ready for playoff hockey? Well, listen up, because I've got something for you. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with 4 questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and here's a sneak peek into some of the questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. Simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total for the game is going to go over or under a certain amount, and the strategy doesn't stop there. Next up, you're picking which player is going to light the lamp first, and finally, you got to predict which period in the game is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That is all up to you. Now let's talk prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. That's right. Treat yourself to some nation gear or even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the round winners, cash money. Cold, hard cash. We're putting real dough in your pockets simply for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. It's game time, folks. Head over to games.dailyfaceoff.com now and prove your puck prowess.